Bibleline, Bibleline. Hear God's word on Bibleline. Everywhere, every time. Hear God's truth on Bibleline.
Welcome to Bibleline with Dr. Ralph Yankee Arnold, pastor of Calvary Community Church in Tampa, Florida. Clearly declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ through the radio and the internet. Your regular prayers and monthly support make it possible for Bibleline to continue on the air. You can reach us toll-free at 1-800-576-3771. Online donations may be made by clicking on the donations link on the BibleLineMinistries.org homepage. We pray that you will enjoy our commitment to the clear gospel of Jesus Christ and that today's first part of this two-part message will be a blessing to you and your family.
I have a few things I wanted to share with you. And if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Here in the book of Luke is one of the most startling stories that you'll find in the whole Bible. You know, the Bible makes this statement of why God gave the law in the book of Romans in chapter 3. It says that every mouth may be stopped. In other words, God wanted to stop every mouth. I guess because somebody could say, hey, I'm not that bad. I mean, I've been pretty good. So God gave his law to shut every mouth. God let us know what he required. And that was perfection. So he gave a law that required perfection, or you messed up. And the wages of sin is death, and the sin is transgressing the law of God. So he gave a law, not only to shut every mouth, but he says he gave the law that all the world would become guilty. And so there's nobody who can justify themselves in the eyes of God. Nobody can claim their right. That God doesn't have a legitimate claim to condemn an individual to an everlasting fire-burning hell. In other words, just to be guilty of the law, okay, big deal. All have sinned. Okay, so what? Wages of sin is death. All right, I'm going to die. That'll be the end of it anyway. You know, 6 feet under. I asked a man one day, I said, where are you going to go when you die? He says, Tennessee. There's always somebody, you know. But if all that is true, what's the big deal? You got to be perfect to go to heaven. Okay, I'm not perfect. Now what are you going to do about it? You know, it's just what he's going to do about it that's so bad. The consequences. And that's something sometimes we don't want to think about. You know, people sin because it's fun. If it wasn't fun, most of them wouldn't do it. Some people enjoy telling a lie. Some people enjoy deceiving. You know, have you ever watched a football game and the guy is trying to fake out the guy that's coming up trying to get him with the ball and he tries to pretend like he's going to go that way and then he cuts back and goes the other way? Is that deception? That's deception. And every team is trying to deceive the other side, trying to fool them. They even try to have a certain defense, and then they'll shift it right at the last minute and try to throw them off. Calling plays in a huddle. Why don't you just tell everybody what you're going to do? Then everybody knows what you're going to do, and then see how it works. But there's something about us that we love sin. And people wouldn't commit adultery if it wasn't fun. I believe people enjoy committing murder at times. But did you know that there's consequences to our decisions? And Jesus tells one of the strangest stories, and I just want you to look at this with me. I want to read it to you, and then I want to talk about it. Here in verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, been in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, likewise lather evil things. But now he is comforted, thou art tormented. Beside all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou would have sent him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. This is a story about real people, believe it or not. It's not a parable. Jesus is the one telling the story. It's the reason why he did what he did. He came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And he gives us a beautiful picture about what happens to those that die and they're lost. So this thing about that every mouth may be stopped, well, it was for a reason. And that the whole world become guilty before God, that was for a reason. That no man is justified in the eyes of God, well, that was for a reason. Because there's only one way to get to heaven, that's through Christ. It was to take away all the excuses of man. To nail it down and get everybody to see that no man can save himself by his good deeds. It would be only through accepting Jesus Christ as a Savior. Now, in this little old story, there's two lifestyles, as you can see. There, well, one man was rich and one man was poor. I have to be honest, I can relate more to the poor guy than that rich guy. I had a fairly of a rough beginning myself. Well, one had too much and one had too little. Anybody like that here? When it comes to money, do you always feel like you just don't have enough? That you could always use just a little bit more? Well, here was a rich man that fared sumptuously every day. I mean, he had everything he could desire. A rich man, clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Every day. Now, some of us, we get good days here and there, but as you look back over your life, can you say every day? Every day? Well, probably not. Well, God did not stop the rich man from being rich. And God didn't stop the poor man from being poor. So here's Jesus Christ who made the heavens and the earth, and he knows the complete story of this rich man and the poor man. God did not stop the rich man from being rich, even though he knew where the rich man was going to spend eternity. Is God God? Does he know the end from the beginning? And he allowed a man to live and enjoy all the benefits of life, to live what we call high on the hog, allowed him to make a lot of riches, and didn't stop him. And then there's another man that didn't believe on the Lord. He's God's child, and God allowed him to be poor. He could have changed it, I guess. I mean, God is God. That God can set up kings and take them down, lift up princes and take them down. God can do whatever God wants to do. And God knew this man was a poor man and never let him become rich. I mean, we don't know the whole life story, but whatever it was, God knew it. Does God know your situation? Does he know that there's rich people? Now, I don't know. We may have some rich people in our church. I have no clue. I don't know what people make. I don't know. We may have some people in the church that are very poor. Does God know which one you are? And God allows you to be poor. Did you know that God might allow you to be poorer than you are? That coming down the road, he might even take away more than what you have now. Did you know that there's people around this country, because of this storm and that storm and all these things that happened, some people have lost everything they've had? Does God know that? Does God permit things like this to happen? Evidently he does. So God knew the story about these two individuals, and he did nothing to change it. You see, the Bible says that the rich man in this lifetime, he received the good things. Lazarus says he received evil things. You see, look over there. I want you to see this. Look at verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, Remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things. So he knew that in your lifetime what you received. Does God know everything you have received? And things that you would like to have and you didn't have? God is God. God knew the whole story of these two individuals. And it looks like God didn't do anything about it. I mean, after all, I'm God's child. Why wouldn't God make me the rich man and make the rich man the poor man? Now, that's how I would have done it. That seemed like that would have been more fair. But God is God, and God makes no mistakes. God is wise. He said, in thy lifetime. Lifetime is a small period of time. Read the 90th Psalm. When it talks about, you know, 70. That's 70. And then if perchance you live to be 80, there's still heartache and sorrow, and we still fly away. It means you're still going to die. You say, well, I'll live to be 90. Okay, you're still going to die. Well, maybe I'll make it to 95. You're still going to die. What then? What then? So God knew what then. See, God knows what was going to happen when they die. And he knew that this man in his lifetime, he enjoyed good things. He also says that Lazarus, evil thing. In other words, here was a child of God that was going to Abraham's bosom to paradise, but in his lifetime, he suffered. In his lifetime, he had sores all over his body. And it says, moreover, the dog. That's the name of the dog, moreover. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. So he was a beggar, didn't have anything. He had disease on his body, and dogs were licking his sores. Did God know that? Did God see that? Jesus is telling the story. Jesus knew the two individuals. He knew everything about them. Why didn't he stop this beggar from being a beggar? Couldn't God have just unloaded benefits? Maybe he did it one time. We don't know all of it. But he received evil things. Now listen, in your lifetime that you and I are going to get to live, God seems like he allows you to have a little touch of both. A few good things, and then there seems like there's things that just came from the devil. He allows you to suffer so much. And sometimes it seems like you feel like I'm a beggar. I don't have anything. And you might lose a job, and you can lose all your money, and you can lose your health. And then you wonder whether or not, hey, God, don't want to cause no fuss, but what about us? Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? But we want the Lord to know who we are and where we are and what we're going through. God even says, come unto me and make your petitions known. Let the Lord, and give praise and thanks unto the Lord for all that he hath done. In the 103rd Psalm, it talks about he hath loaded us with all these benefits. Loaded us. You mean I got more than I need of the benefits. The spiritual blessings that God has given to you and I. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, when he talks about we have been blessed in the heavenlies. In other words, God sees us in his Son in the heavenlies. Somebody said, well, how are you doing? Well, under the circumstances. What are you doing under there? You see, we're supposed to have the position that we're in heaven and we're looking down. Well, on top of everything, I say it's pretty good. See, it depends on your perspective, how you see things. Do you see that there's a God in heaven that knew the rich man and he knew the poor man? He knew one believed and one did not believe. And he allowed the one to be comforted. See there in that verse 25? Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things. Likewise, Lazarus, evil thing. Now, hey, things have changed. Would you rather have the good things for a short period of time, and then you have the evil things for eternity? Or would you rather have the evil things for the short period of time and the good things for eternity? It's perspective. You see, I know that whatever happens to me in this life, it's a short period of time. Because we're going to vanish away. We're going to disappear out of here. whatever the worst thing that could ever happen to you in this life is a short period of time. But you see, God looks down the road and he saw Lazarus in the future, because see, God has to know where Lazarus was going, and God knew where the rich man was going. And wasn't it great for the Lord to be merciful and kind to the rich man? He at least enjoyed a few things, but you know all those good things that he had can come back to haunt him someday. Because there's things that God says and put here in his word. Now, both lived and both died. Of all the people in the world, we're born and we live and we die. Ecclesiastes talks about a time to be born, a time to die, a time to laugh, a time to cry, time to war, a time to love. The Bible says that when Lazarus died, he was carried by the angels. I remember a teacher I had one time in college. He was asked to go to the hospital because a person was dying. And he was young in the ministry, and so he didn't know exactly what to do. He'd never done this before. And he was standing by the edge of the bed. And the person passed away. And everybody looked at him. And he thought, I guess I'm supposed to say something. He says, there she goes. There she goes. No, I've been in a lot of situations, but I've never... There he goes. Anyway, he was kind of embarrassed, but that was the only thing he could think of. So you never know what to do in every situation. But we all live and we're all going to die. And so he was carried by the angels. You know, the Bible didn't say that about the rich man being carried by the angels. Maybe he had to be cast in because nobody wanted to take him. I don't know. But the Bible says that when the rich man died and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Now, I wrote down a few things just so that you'll know that there are some things that a man who dies and goes to hell can happen to him. I wrote this down. The rich man, he could see. He saw Lazarus. He saw Abraham. Where he was, he could see. Now, it doesn't say he could see anybody else where he was, but he could see through the gulf somehow. Boy, he had to have good vision. So there's a great gulf between the two. You can't cross from one to the other. But he could see. He could recognize. Now, here's a man who's dead. And he could look across this chasm and he could see in the place of paradise. I see Abraham. Do you know if he could see Abraham, Abraham was alive. But Abraham was dead. The Bible says that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That means if he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob must be alive. They are alive. And when people die, they're still alive. But the people that are without the Lord, they're looked upon as being dead. It means separated from God. So you and I understand that whenever we die, it means we're separated from our body. It's not the annihilation of a person. You still exist. You're just separated from your body. So death is you being separated from your physical body. And everybody's going to die. If you think, well, I'm just going to die and they'll put my body in the grave and that's all there is to it. Have you died before? Then how do you know that's true? That's what you hope is true. But why not listen to the person who died and was buried, came back from the dead? Know anybody else that's done that on their own? Jesus is the only one to come back from the dead. And he says, now this is the way it really is. You see, if you die, you can't come back. You can't make it happen. But the one that did can. And so we have interesting things here in the Word of God. the poor man, he received compassion. You see, he said he was in Abraham's bosom. The individual, the writer that God used to write the Gospel of John, it says that he laid his head upon Jesus' bosom. It means he was as close as he could get. That's as close as you can get. Lazarus, that's as close as he could get to the great patriarch Abraham. Did you know that he was isolated and probably nobody wanted him? Nobody met his need. A poor man, a beggar. Now he is comforted. And it says, and thou art tormented. He is comforted. You see, we in this life, we don't always have the comfort that we would like. There's a lot of struggles that we go through. A lot of problems and heartaches of all kinds. Disappointments and discouragement and despair. But you see, it's so short a period of time. It's just this little lifetime. Time of life. And it's temporary. But there's something that's going to be for eternity. And you and I are going to be blessed and comforted for eternity in something like a place called paradise. Forever and ever. No more sorrow, sickness, death, and disease. Why? Because there'll be no more sin. All these things are because of sin. Sin in the world. So the Bible says this is what it ought to be and the way it's going to be. You see, Abraham, it says, could not show mercy to the rich man. What was the one thing the rich man says here? He cried in verse 24 and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Mercy. He couldn't have mercy on him. After the man is dead, there was no more mercy. We have people today who teach that whenever you die, you can go to a place called purgatory, which is not in the Bible. And that somebody can pray you out of there and help ease your time there and your pain. But that's not taught in the Bible. You see, there's a way to be sure of going to heaven. I'm so glad I can never go to purgatory. I can never go to hell. I'm going to heaven whenever I die. Whenever Lazarus died, see, he didn't go to purgatory. Two men died. One went here, one went there. They both didn't go to the same place. That's contrary to what a lot of religions teach. Jesus is the one that tells the story. And you notice what he prayed? He says, Father Abraham. Evidently, they thought at one time that's all they needed. As long as I can say that, hey, I know who my father is. It's Father Abraham. Look there in the book of John in chapter 8. The book of John chapter 8. And look in verse 19. And you'll notice the Jewish people had, I guess you could say, a special bonding to Abraham. And they thought just because we are of the lineage of Abraham, we got it made. That's all we need to do is just make sure that we are of the nation of Israel. Well, look what he says in verse 19. Then said they unto him, where is thy father? Where's your father? Where's your father? Because he talked to them as though he always referred to somebody else being his father. Now, see, Joseph was not his father. And he says in the last part of verse 19, ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. So you see, they said they knew who his daddy was because they said, we know that your father is Joseph. They made the statement, we be not born of fornication, because they knew that Mary and Joseph, they had a child before they got married. So it's like a mockery back to him. We're not born of fornication. We know you were. See there in verse 41, he says, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. In other words, we didn't come from outside the matrimony of marriage. But now, look what he says up there in verse 38. Look in verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. And that's why they said what they said. And then Jesus said what he said. Oh, I'd love to have been there and seen this. In verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, because he said, God is my father, because he said, I am the son of God, that would make Jesus God. But look what he said. Ye love me not, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So he says in verse 44, ye are of your father, the who? The devil. This is what Jesus said to me. Now, see, Jesus had never read Dale Carnegie's book on how to win friends and influence people. See, he should have took that course. Because Jesus should have known that you're going to make those people mad. They're not going to like you. You offended them people. But he says, you are of your father, the devil. Now, look at verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead. And the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sin, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Who do you think you are? And Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar just like you. Does that seem like he's tiptoeing through the tithers? What's he calling them? Liars? He says, I'd be a liar like you. Looking for it in verse 15. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. They said unto the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Have you seen Abraham? Well, slap my mouth. He had. So he says in verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto thee, or unto you, before Abraham was, I am. See, Jesus was Jehovah. He is the Lord. He is God. He said, I was here before Abraham was. They said, you mean you seen Abraham? Yeah. Now Jesus knew that he was setting them up. And it says in verse 59, and so they all got together and honored him and thought he was a wonderful man, and everything wonderful happened to him. And they took up stones to cast at him. They didn't like what he said, but did he lie? He told the truth. And when people die, they're still alive. But the people that are without the Lord, they're looked upon as being dead. I mean, separated from God. So you and I understand that whenever we die, it means we're separated from our body. It's not the annihilation of a person. You still exist. You're just separated from your body. So death is you being separated from your physical body. And everybody's going to die. If you think, well, I'm just going to die and they'll put my body in the grave and that's all there is to it. Have you died before? Then how do you know that's true? That's what you hope is true. But why not listen to the person who died and was buried, came back from the dead? Know anybody else that's done that on their own? Jesus is the only one to come back from the dead. And it says, now this is the way it really is. You see, if you die, you can't come back. You can't make it happen. But the one that did can. And so we have interesting things here in the Word of God. The poor man, he received compassion. You see, he said he was in Abraham's bosom. The individual, the writer that God used to write the Gospel of John, it says that he laid his head upon Jesus' bosom. It means he was as close as he could get. That's as close as you can get. Lazarus, that's as close as he could get to the great patriarch Abraham. Did you know that he was isolated and probably nobody wanted him? Nobody met his need. A poor man, a beggar. Now he is comforted. And he says, and thou art tormented. He is comforted. You see, we in this life, we don't always have the comfort that we would like. There's a lot of struggles that we go through. A lot of problems and heartaches of all kinds. Disappointments and discouragement and despair. But you see, it's so short a period of time. It's just this little lifetime. Time of life. And it's temporary. But there's something that's going to be for eternity. And you and I are going to be blessed and comforted for eternity in something like a place called paradise. Forever and ever. No more sorrow, sickness, death, and disease. Why? Because there'll be no more sin. All these things are because of sin. Sin in the world. So the Bible says this is what it ought to be and the way it's going to be. You see, Abraham, it says, could not show mercy to the rich man. What was the one thing the rich man says here? He cried in verse 24 and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Mercy. He couldn't have mercy on him. After the man is dead, there was no more mercy. We have people today who teach that whenever you die, you can go to a place called purgatory, which is not in the Bible, and that somebody can pray you out of there and help ease your time there and your pain. But that's not taught in the Bible. You see, there's a way to be sure of going to heaven. I'm so glad I can never go to purgatory. I can never go to hell. I'm going to heaven whenever I die. Whenever Lazarus died, see, he didn't go to purgatory. Two men died. One went here, one went there. They both didn't go to the same place. That's contrary to what a lot of religions teach. Jesus is the one that tells the story. And you notice what he prayed? He says, Father Abraham. Evidently, they thought at one time that's all they needed. As long as I can say that, hey, I know who my father is. It's Father Abraham. Look there in the book of John in chapter 8. The book of John chapter 8. And look in verse 19. And you notice the Jewish people had, I guess you could say, a special bonding to Abraham. And they thought, just because we are of the lineage of Abraham, we got it made. That's all we need to do is just make sure that we are of the nation of Israel. Well, look what he says in verse 19. Then said they unto him, where is thy father? Where's your father? Where's your father? Because he talked to them as though he always referred to somebody else being his father. Now, see, Joseph was not his father. And he says in the last part of verse 19, ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. So you see, they said they knew who his daddy was because they said, we know that your father is Joseph. They made the statement, we be not born of fornication, because they knew that Mary and Joseph, they had a child before they got married. So it's like a mockery back to him. We're not born of fornication. We know you were. See there in verse 41, he says, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. In other words, we didn't come from outside the matrimony of marriage. But now, look what he says up there in verse 38. Look in verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. And that's why they said what they said. And then Jesus said what he said. Oh, I'd love to have been there and seen this. In verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, because he said, God is my Father, because he said, I am the Son of God. That would make Jesus God. But look what he said. Ye love me not, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So he says in verse 44, ye are of your father, the who? The devil. This is what Jesus said to him. Now, see, Jesus had never read Dale Carnegie's book on how to win friends and influence people. See, he should have took that course. Because Jesus should have known that you're going to make those people mad. They're not going to like you. You offended them people. But he says, you are of your father, the devil. Now, look at verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead. And the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my sin, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Who do you think you are? And Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar just like you. Does that seem like he's tiptoeing through the tithers? What's he calling them? Liars? He says, I'd be a liar like you. Looking for it in verse 15. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. They said unto the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Have you seen Abraham? Well, slap my mouth. He had. So he says in verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto thee, unto you, before Abraham was, I am. See, Jesus was Jehovah. He is the Lord. He is God. He said, I was here before Abraham was. They said, you mean you seen Abraham? Yeah. Now, Jesus knew that he was setting them up. And it says in verse 59, and so they all got together and honored him and thought he was a wonderful man, and everything wonderful happened to him. And they took up stones to cast at him. They didn't like what he said, but did he lie? He told the truth. And so they thought just because Father Abraham, so here's this rich man in hell, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Hey, I know you, your father Abraham. He didn't know him. Go back to the book of Luke. If Abraham could not give him mercy, I'll bet you the Pope can't give mercy either. Or the priest can't give mercy. Nor can this preacher give anybody mercy. I'm not God. You see, you must accept the mercy of God while you can accept the mercy of God. That means you must do it before you die, because after you're dead, there is no more hope, there is no more chances. It will not work that way. Did you know the rich man? He must have been hot. Because he says, send Lazarus that he may tip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. He must have had a hot tongue. I bet his whole body was hot. Did you know that he was able to see, to recognize? He was able to remember, because he said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime. So when a person is in hell, he can remember his lifetime. Did you know that in the Word of God, it tells us that when we get to heaven, there'll come a time when God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, and the former things will not be remembered. Did you know the only thing that goes to heaven is going to be the second birth, not the first birth? Things that happened in the first birth, you'll no longer remember, only that which is in the second birth. I got two of them. And the day will come when we get to eternity. I will not recall all those things that can bring me hurt or harm or pain or grief or sadness or sorrow. I believe they're all be gone. But did you know the rich man and those who have not accepted Christ as their Savior will remember their sins forever? I believe they'll remember their opportunities forever. All the chances that they had and threw it all away. As you can see here, was he able to talk? He can talk. Without a body, but he can talk. God is a spirit, but can God talk? Can God hear? Can God speak? Yes. And he says that the Bible talks about grieve not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can grieve. See, you don't need a body. That is for our advantages in our lifetime. Could the rich man feel? Could he feel? I am tormented in this flame. I'm tormented. And the Bible tells us all these things about him. Did he have desires? He had desires. He desired that he would send Lazarus so he could go talk to my brothers lest they come to this place. So he still had something that he wanted done. He had, I believe he had regret. But he also had a request that he would be able to preach the gospels lest my brothers come to this place of torment. See, a lost man in hell doesn't forget all of those things, but remembers these things. If there's any place you don't want to go, it ought to be hell. Not only because of the heat, the fire, but the loneliness. The Bible says they are like wandering stars in the midst of darkness forever. It's not like you can look over there and say, hey, there's Jan Velasquez. Hey, gang, good to see you, Jan. Or, you know, you look over there and, hey, there's Jesse. Hey. You're not going to get together and take up an offering and you know, collect enough money to build a, put an air conditioning in. That's not going to happen. Did you know that he was able to pray? He cried out to Father Abraham. He was also able to argue. Because Abraham told him, says, they have Moses. They have the prophets. Let them hear them. He says, nay, no. He's arguing already. He's in hell and still argues. He said, if somebody went from the dead, they'll believe it. He says, they will not. An argument. Some people never learn, never listen, never paying attention. The rich man will remember all eternity, his sins and all of his guilt. Isn't it sometimes when you've done something wrong, you know you shouldn't have done it? Isn't guilt an ugly thing to you? Don't it make you sometimes just feel rotten? How'd you like to feel that way for eternity? To have all the sorrow, all the grief, all the regret, all the hurt, all the pain forever and never be taken away. So it's not like the man died and okay, he went to hell. No. Listen to what he's saying. Listen to what happened. Who told this? Jesus told this. You see, that's what makes it so important to talk to people about the Lord. So important. You know what? I was sitting at the little restaurant the other day. And when I'm with somebody, I don't do as much as when I'm by myself. Because I can't always hear. I can't carry on conversation sometimes because of the noise. And I just can't hear. I can't discern what people are saying. And it just drives me up a wall. But when it's nice and quiet, and nobody was in there, everybody had left, and this lady had come through, and she was cleaning. And so I'm drinking me a cup of coffee and got my Bible, and she came by, and she looked over. I saw her look. She went and did some more things, and then she came back. And she said, what you reading? I says, I'm a preacher, and this is a Bible. And I says, I'm studying. Oh, sorry to bother you. I said, ma'am, it's no bother. Okay. So she went around and did some more, and she came back by. I says, can I ask you a question? She said, sure. I says, do you know where you're going to go when you die? She said, I guess I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. She just said it like, you know, it's an accepted deal. That's where I'm going. I says, ma'am, you can know you have eternal life. Would you like to know? I said, if you got a couple minutes, I can explain it. She says, yes. So she came a little bit closer, and I explained it to her, and she trusted Christ as her Savior. And then she got teary eyes. And she says, thank you. She went and cleaned some more, and I went back to reading. It wasn't long before she came back up again. She says, Can I ask you another question? Sure. She says, one of the reasons that I thought that I would definitely go to hell is because I tried to commit suicide. And I knew that if you tried to commit suicide, or if you committed suicide, you'd go to hell. She says, can you explain it to me? I says, ma'am, is suicide a sin? She said, well, yeah. I said, paid. He paid for all sin. And she looked at me and she started smiling. She says, thank you. And then the tears started coming down her cheek with a smile. Smiling and tears. She says, thank you. Thank you. And she went back cleaning the floor and stuff. When they get to heaven and they see all these kids that trusted the Lord, or some of these adults that trust the Lord because of all your contacts that you've had and the people on your job and your neighbor and all that, it will be worth it all. Because see, this lifetime, it's temporary. It's temporary. Eternity is a long time. And that's why it's so important. I didn't make up this story. The Lord did. You see in verse 26 where it says the word cannot, cannot. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from them. In other words, they cannot. In other words, whenever you die, wherever you are, there you shall stay. People say, well, they'll get a second chance. It doesn't teach that. God's Word doesn't teach that. If you don't trust Christ as your Savior before you die, there is no other chances. There are no other opportunities. It's over. And it'll be that way for all eternity. The rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes immediately in a place of torment. You see, if hell wasn't real, then I don't have a message to preach. You don't need a clear gospel presentation if there's no place to be saved from. If there's no consequences. But there are consequences. All of them are written down here in the Word of God. You know what I thought about when I time I read this? He says, go back and talk to my five brothers. In my mind, right off the bat, I wonder where mom and dad was. I wonder where mom and dad was. He didn't mention mom and dad. I wonder if he could see mom and dad over there in paradise. Well, why wouldn't he have talked to them? Send them back so they can talk to my brothers. Wonder where mom and dad was. You know, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, the first thing that came to my mind, I wanted my mom and stepdad to know the Lord and to go to heaven. I wanted my brother and my sister. Oh, I didn't care about the rest of the world. I wanted my family. Because I knew that probably they never heard and understood the gospel. They're probably just like I was. Nobody ever told them. And I tried my best to tell them. And because I was a little rude and crude, I didn't know how to make it simple. I think they kind of rebelled against my presentation. I was a little sarcastic probably. Hard. I cared, but I didn't know how to care. I loved them, but I didn't know how to love them. I was compassionate, but I didn't know how to be compassionate. I didn't know how to do things. See, this is either true or you ought to cut it out of your Bible. What do you think we ought to do? Believe it? Did you know there might be people that will never hear the gospel unless they hear it from you? Because a lot of people never come to church. There'll never be a church. And there'll be funerals and they'll go to funerals, but most of preachers never give the gospel. They just don't make it clear. We try to make it clear because we really care about where people are going to go when they die. Let me show you this. I got a few more things I could say, but I can go on and on. But you know, one of the things that he did say, it says that if somebody went back from the dead and they heard and understood, they'll repent. So he already knew what they needed to do. He already knew what they needed to believe. He just wouldn't do it. He knew what the requirement was. God hath commanded all men to repent. It means to believe, to change their mind about saving yourself by your works and simply trusting Christ. So every man is commanded in the Word of God. Everybody has to repent. It does not mean turn from your sin to be saved. You see, you don't have to turn from sin to be saved. You have to die for your sins. You have to die for your sin. Christ didn't just turn from my sin. He died for my sins. And so when he died, he made a complete payment And all I have to do is believe he did it for me. Look up here. This hand represent you and me. The wallet represent all the things we do that's wrong. All of our sins. God says that he loves us. That means he loves me, loves you. He hates what we do wrong. Just like you love your children, you don't like what they do wrong. Or you're supposed to love your kids. I'm not sure my mom ever, dad ever did. I don't know. But anyway, God loves us. And he says for us to pay for the sin is eternal separation from the Lord. So since everybody sins, everybody's guilty. The whole world, their mouths are stopped. Everybody's guilty. God says to go to heaven, you have to be perfect. Nobody qualifies. Nobody's perfect. God says by your works, you can never be justified. Or just as if you never did anything wrong. In other words, he's saying all your good things won't take away your bad things. You can't be cleared by doing all the... Going to church or giving money is not going to pay for your sins. You need a death payment. And God says you cannot earn eternal life. This hand represents Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. God in the flesh. He came into the world because he loves us, hates our sin because it separates us from him. So Christ took the sin, paid for it on the cross, came back from the dead. And God said, if you'll believe he did it for you, he would put this payment that he made to your account. You see, you may believe he died and paid for the sins of the whole world, but that won't get you to heaven. You have to believe he did it for you. And when you accept what he did for you, then you know, oh, my sins are paid. Well, if my sins are paid, there's no payment for me to make. I don't go to hell and pay for sin. He paid for it. I don't go to heaven because I deserved it. I'm saved by grace. Grace means unmerited. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. It's totally free. And God says, all that you and I have to do is believe he did it for us. Boy, don't that sound hard? You don't have to promise anything, stop anything, start anything. Salvation is receiving. It's not you doing something. It's not you giving God something. You don't give him your heart, your lung, your liver, your toes. You don't give him anything. Salvation is you receiving from God what God has, not me giving something to God. And so he says, when you believe it, you can know that you have eternal life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Know that you're going to heaven whenever you die. Everything I just said is on the back of these flyers. And you never know. Somebody might get one on their door and read that thing and trust Christ as Savior. Tune into the internet or listen to the radio broadcast. Or maybe just read it and trust Christ as their Savior. Check out those verses in the Bible. Wouldn't it be neat? I want you to have a burden for souls. I want you to have compassion. I want you to care. To do nothing speaks volumes about you. It's going and doing and talking, making something happen. Let's pray, shall we? Friend, I don't know everybody. You may be here a number of times. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe you'll never come back. But I want you to have eternal life. I want you to go to heaven when you die. I can't save you. I'm just a man and I needed a Savior myself. But I know a Savior. His name is Jesus. He died on that cross to pay for your sins. And he said if you would trust him, if you would believe that he died and paid for your sins, he would give you as a free gift everlasting life. Would you trust him? If you're making that decision, say, yes, that made sense to me and I will trust Christ as my Savior. And preach, I'd like for you to pray for me. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand. Raising your hand doesn't save you. It just lets me know that what I said made sense to you. And I'd like to know. I'd like to have prayer for you. If you've already trusted Christ as your Savior before, then you don't need to do it again. But if you've never trusted the Lord, don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to be sure of going to heaven? Don't you want to know it now? Would you trust him now, this moment? If you're making that decision, say, preacher, pray for me. I will accept Christ as my Savior this morning, and I'd like for you to pray for me. Would you just slip your hand very quickly and put it right back down? Anyone at all? Yes, God bless you, sir. Anyone else? This is so important. You don't know how long you're going to live, but if you trust Christ right now as your Savior, God saves you right now and gives you eternal life as a free gift. If you die without Christ, you'll spend an eternity in a literal fire-burning hell. It doesn't have to be that way. Anyone else before we close? Our Father, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. We're thankful for these that indicated by an uplifted hand that they will accept Christ as their Savior. By doing so, they become your child. That payment you made is put to their account. They can stand up and say, I know I'm going to heaven because today I trusted Christ as my only hope of going to heaven. We ask, Father, your blessings upon each one here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to BibleLine, a teaching ministry of Calvary Community Church in Tampa, Florida, with Dr. Ralph Arnold. We pray that you are blessed by today's message. If you have enjoyed our commitment to the clear gospel of Jesus Christ, you can reach BibleLine and pledge your support to keep us on the air in your area by dialing toll-free 1-800-576-3771. That's 1-800-576-3771. To listen to today's message again or to obtain a free download of any of our BibleLine programs, just go to our homepage at BibleLineMinistries.org and click on the radio broadcast link. If you are in the area, we welcome you to visit us. The address for Calvary Community Church is 4811 George Road, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Our Sunday morning services begin at 10:30 and at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. Live broadcasts of our services may be seen by clicking on the Calvary Community Church link at BibleLineMinistries.org. Thanks for joining us on BibleLine. And now, a closing thought from Pastor Arnold.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up.